Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr. with Alsperity Private Wealth. No matter your occupation, whether you work for a big company or you're a small business owner, everyone wants to keep as much of their earnings as possible. I specialize in tax minimization strategies and retirement planning that'll help you build a strong financial future for you and your future generations. Call me, Mike Veneria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Well, Bucks County is now getting international attention because they're trying to steal the election for Bob Casey. And it's not just Bucks County. It's Democrats all throughout Pennsylvania right now trying to steal the election that Dave McCormick won for the United States Senate seat. Even Elon Musk just tweeted about it a short time ago. Welcome back to the show. Glad you are here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Cioli. It is blowing up big time right now. Blowing up big time, and all eyes are on Bucks County, Pennsylvania, after we talked about this yesterday on the show. Democrat commissioners Diane Marseglia and Bob Havey voted to count illegal ballots, openly defying the law, openly defying the state Supreme Court. They're trying to steal this election. There's no other way to put it. The good news is, though, they're not going to be successful in doing so. Bob Casey does not have the votes. They're not there. McCormick won this fair and square. He's got a 30,000-vote lead. This is a money-making scam. There's no doubt about it. This is a money-making scam. The Democrats are trying to do that just to raise money. And Bob Casey is costing the taxpayers $1 million. $1 million is what he's going to cost by going forward with this recount. I mean, it's really unbelievable that this is happening. All eyes are on us. Even Elon Musk tweeting about it. I mean, that's amazing. Wow. All right, so 855-839-1210 is the number if you would like to weigh in on the subject today. And, of course, you can also X us at Rich Cioli. And Trump has named his communications director and his personnel director. That just came out a short time ago. I imagine that at any moment now, we're probably going to hear who the press secretary is. I think we'll hear about it today. That's my gut. If he announced the communications director and the personnel director, it makes sense that he would announce the press secretary soon. My money happens to be on Caroline Leavitt, who was the press secretary for the campaign. She did a great job. I imagine it's going to be her. And we'll see. We'll find out if he makes any more big announcements today. There's a lot of excitement about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. being named the HHS secretary because, and I was even having lunch today with some people talking about this, the issue of our food supply and how people feel it's completely poisoned. I have a theory on this. This is part of the reason why Trump did so well with suburban women, you know, winning 52% of suburban women. I think that this is part of the reason why, because they are sick and tired of their kids being unhealthy and they're sick and tired of having to deal with all the processed foods. But the problem is, for a lot of them, they can't afford to buy organic stuff. I mean, it's expensive to buy organic. Now, everybody wants to do right by their kids and everybody wants to be able to give their kids the best stuff. And also the other problem is parents you run into. And look, I mean, I've got an 8-year-old, I've got a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old. I got to keep the order correct as I lose my mind. But you try your best. You go to the grocery store, you look at the crap that's in everything and your kids wind up building a taste for this stuff. And you do your best as parents to limit it. The problem is they go to parties, even at school, they hand out crap, even at school cafeterias. You know, we let our son buy lunch on Fridays. I'm amazed at the stuff. He comes home and he tells us what he ate for lunch. I'm like, buddy, can't you make healthier choices? When we pack lunch for him, we do a good job of that. But as parents, you know, there's only so much you can do. And look, I'm not like crazy about this. I mean, I'm not saying kids shouldn't eat sugar. And I'm not saying kids shouldn't have candy once in a while. But it's just that as parents, it's a huge challenge trying to keep your kids healthy. And I know this with my daughter, Reagan. If she has certain foods, her behavior changes. I talked to other parents about this. Their kids, same thing. You know, certain chemicals and dyes and additives, and their kids go off the wall bonkers, you know? So I think that when Robert F. Kennedy Jr. backed Trump and said he was going to make America healthy again, that was a direct appeal to a lot of suburban moms and dads who just feel like this situation's gotten out of control. Big food is too much power. And the other aspect of it, too, is that whenever their kids have a problem, very often the first thing that's recommended is putting their kids on medication. You know, if the kids are hyperactive, if the kids are having a tough time in school, almost immediately the recommendation is give them a pill. And that's another, it's become a kind of a conventional norm. And you've got, you know, tens of millions of kids out there who are medicated every day of their lives for things that, you know, you got to wonder if that's really the best way to treat their kids. But a lot of doctors and medical schools and the pharmaceutical companies, they all say this is the science and the conventional wisdom, because nobody challenges this stuff, you know, and nobody pushes back on big food when they load the food up with crap. And I think government has a big role to play in this as far as the blame game goes. I think a lot of this is because of government and what they've done over the years in terms of enabling our food supply to be compromised by lobbyists and special interests. Everything from high fructose corn syrup and corn to looking the other way when there's chemicals going into food that they say is safe, but nobody really knows. And you got lobbyists and special interests involved, the food pyramid, the guidance by government in and of itself, telling us what we should eat has led to a lot of the problems. I mean, if you remember, if you're a Gen Xer, like I am, you remember when we went through a whole period of time where we were told you had to eat low fat foods. And all of a sudden, everybody, there was an obesity epidemic, and we were told eat more low fat foods. So everybody was eating every product back then had low fat, no fat. You remember this? And it was loaded with carbs, loaded with all kinds of crap. People started gaining a lot of weight. And then when you had people challenging that, whether it was Atkins or, you know, what would become the keto diet or the paleo diet or any other, it was immediately looked at as being fringe and not mainstream. There was a time when the food pyramid said you should have like six servings of grains every day. You wonder why kids had love handles and husky jeans like me. I mean, you know, we were whole grains. So a lot of this, too, and guys like Dr. Marty Makary, who've spoken out about this, and he's got a whole chapter in his book about eggs. He's got a whole chapter in his book, Blind Spots, about eggs and how for a long time people were told stop eating eggs because eggs give you high cholesterol. And that's not true. And then, of course, if you have high cholesterol, the first thing that you're told is take a statin. Whereas Makary points out, there's lots of other ways to determine whether or not that high cholesterol number is really problematic for you. But again, doctors, medical schools, hospitals, they all kind of go the same road. And so having a guy like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to go in there and challenge all this and push back on this is going to be huge. As parents, it's a struggle to find healthy food for your kids that's also affordable. And also something that, you know, as a parent, you can feel good about while you're also trying to keep a budget. I mean, I know every parent out there would love to give their kids organic food, but a lot of them can't afford it because the price is so much higher. Why is that? You know, what's behind that, too? So that's another question. And then immediately he's being called a conspiracy theorist. But that's anyone who challenges the conventional wisdom of the scientific industrial complex. Anyone who challenges those norms is called a conspiracy theorist. And we've seen that. We saw that especially during COVID. And he's a guy during COVID who battled Fauci. Senator Rand Paul, by the way, big appointment for Senator Rand Paul as a United States senator. He is going to now be able to be in a position where he can really have oversight because he's taking over the Senate Homeland Security Committee. And he's promising to target the COVID cover-up epidemic. That's fantastic. Senator Rand Paul tweeting out a short time ago after Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a parody of him, said, "Dear Dr. Fauci, I'm still looking for you." Rand Paul tweeting out, "I bet we find him." Rand Paul, who's a doctor, definitely wants to go after Fauci. No question about it. And for Kennedy, You know, the question for the critics of him, whether it comes to vaccines or fluorides or anything else, or fluoride or food groups or anything, is why are you so afraid of challenging the conventional norms? Why are you so afraid of that? I can tell you, because I talk to parents all the time. I talk to parents, and there are a lot of things about them that they don't want to say publicly, because nobody wants to be labeled a conspiracy theorist. Nobody wants to be called any of these things. But whether it's male boys, you know, boys playing women's sports, or whether it's the COVID vaccine or the kids having to wear masks or lockdowns or anything else, they're angry about a lot of these things. And they're afraid to say a lot of these things out loud. But the fact that experts are worried should tell you everything you need to know, because the experts got it so wrong during COVID-19. Like, here's a story from CNN. RFK Jr.'s to-do list to make America healthy has health experts worried. And he says, you know, President Donald Trump Jr.'s pick of Robert Kennedy Jr. for Secretary of U.S. Department of Health and Human Services is an extraordinarily bad choice for the health of the American people, warned Dr. Ashish Jha, dean of the Brown University School of Public Health. I was worried we could go low, but not this low. You know, a lot of these medical schools are driven by DEI nowadays. They, for a lot of them, have a lot of ties to big pharmaceutical companies. The FDA has all kinds of ties to pharmaceutical companies as well. And you've got guys out there who've been whistleblowers, whether it's Michael Schellenberger or other people who have been coming out over the years and saying, we need to have a serious look at the intersection between the FDA, the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, the National Institutes for Allergies and Infectious Diseases. We have to look at the intersection of all this, and we have to understand this revolving door, which my eyes were first opened to it when I watched the show Dope Sick. And you think about the people that were working at the FDA who were just giving the green light to Purdue Pharma with Oxycontin or oxycodone, and then wound up getting jobs with Purdue Pharma. And that revolving door that goes on all the time. And it's the same thing with people that work for the FDA in the food division and then wind up getting jobs with Purdue Chicken. The Purdue Pharma or Purdue Chicken? I mean, it's kind of the same thing. And Big Food spends a boatload of money on lobbyists going out there and saying, look the other way at whatever chemicals or additives or dyes are put in the food. And then kids get sick. And what did we hear recently? They were saying that when kids are obese at 12, we should think about putting them on Ozempic. We should think about giving them medication, because they want to deal with obesity for kids as an illness versus a lifestyle. And then, of course, the other fact of all this is that we've come to a time in our society where, if you acknowledge obesity as a health epidemic, that's politically incorrect. And you're accused of fat shaming. And you've had the body positivity movement, which goes out there and says, embrace your girth. You know, embrace your girth and go out there and celebrate your body, no matter how big your body is. And ignore all the health consequences of that. And we saw this during COVID, too. I mean, we saw a lot of this during COVID when they were saying that if you were obese, you had a higher rate of getting COVID, of it being fatal or with big complications. But bringing that up was controversial, because people turned around and would say to people, you know, that's fat shaming. You can't say that about people. You have to embrace body positivity. And we started putting plus size models on magazine covers and putting plus size models on, like, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit magazine. And you turn around and you go, but wait a second. I thought we were supposed to be about pushing healthy lifestyles. And they go, well, it's you got to embrace and feel good about yourself. OK, well, you could feel good about yourself and still acknowledge you need to lose weight and need to be healthy. Like, look, I mean, I've struggled with my weight over the years. It's always a struggle. Whenever I cheat and eat carbs, I pay a price for it. I think we've all realized now that carbs are the reason why we have an obesity epidemic in this country. But, you know, they eat a lot of carbs in Europe. And I mean, when I go over to Italy, I eat pasta and bread. And I feel great. You know, you wonder about that, too. But a lot of this is also driven by the politically correct stuff, where we were told that if you point out obesity as an epidemic, that was fat shaming. It was rude. It was mean. It was hateful. It was terrible to say. But all the problems that comes with it, I mean, those are not made up problems. Those are legitimate problems. They're legitimate health problems. If you look at Kennedy, the guy's jacked. I mean, he's jacked up. He's ripped. He's ready to go. Raring to go. And I think a lot of you can judge how afraid they are, they being the complexes. Remember, I talked about this with Tulsi Gabbard over the summer. I said, can we really fight whatever the complexes are, whether it's the war complex, the food complex, the pharmaceutical complex? Can we really do it? And her point to me was, we can. If we have courageous people who are in there, not afraid to go after them, not afraid to battle these people, not afraid to get their hands dirty. Trump has one term. He's got 4 years here and 4 years to challenge all the conventional norms of all these agencies and all these so-called experts. We saw during COVID how wrong the experts got it. We saw how the experts lost credibility and they turn around and they blame people like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. for people losing faith in the CDC and the NIH and people like Fauci. And no, it's not him. They did this to themselves. They themselves created this problem. And when people lost faith in them because of all of their decisions. Now, I want to play this for you just so you know. This is a this is an X clip, Kirk, so we should be able to do this. This is CNN's Jake Tapper. All right. And they immediately go there and they go down this road, even though Kennedy said he's not anti-vaccine. He has made this point before. He has called out issues around vaccines, certain vaccines, and also the COVID vaccine. But they immediately go down this road of saying, like Elizabeth Warren, America's mother-in-law, posted something about how we're going to go back to the days of polio. Here's Jake Tapper. Actually, we'll come back to that. But Jake Tapper basically saying the same thing. You know, you're going to wind up going back to the measles. Hope you like your measles. And now that the COVID pandemic is over, and there's a little flashback cut as well, the CDC, the FDA, and the NIH admit mistakes were made. Oh, really? You think mistakes were made? You think it's why people have lost faith in the system? And a lot of the government's guidance over the years around food was driven by lobbyists who wound up getting involved with the decision-making process, much like how the decision to keep schools shut down was driven by the teachers' union. Special interest driving things and telling us what to eat was driven by lobbyists. And it resulted in an obesity epidemic. It resulted in kids with attention deficit disorders. And, you know, the link between kids being on psychotropic drugs, because we're drugging our kids, giving them stimulants, giving them antidepressants. And, you know, teen depression rates have never been higher. They blame social media for it. But, you know, school shootings, I mean, all these things. What are the correlations here? People are afraid to ask these questions. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is not afraid to ask these questions. I don't pretend to be an expert here. I don't pretend to have the answers to these things. But a guy like him will go out there and a guy like him will ask these questions. He's not afraid to ask these questions. He's not afraid to ask them. He will do that. And big part of this is just simply adding the just simply asking the question. Frank's in the Northeast. Frank, how you doing today?
Hey, Rich. I love what you're saying. I heard Dr. Marty McCrary in your program, I guess, about a month ago or so.
Yeah.
But they're right on. I mean, I'm a victim of all that stuff, too. I mean, I'm 59 years old. Also, it started when doctors back in the 70s, for everything they gave you antibiotics, which kills your gut flora, gut microbiome, I mean. And I was in the low-fat thing, lifting weights and everything. Before I knew it, I stopped doing that stuff, and I'm eating the carbs and everything. And I'm a Teletubby now, Rich.
You're what?
A Teletubby.
You mean you're heavy?
Yes, more than that. Heavy. You never heard a Teletubby before?
Well, the kids show Teletubbies, right?
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah.
Back in my, they just called a fat guy a Teletubby.
Right.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I mean, I got his book. I'm waiting for someone to read to me. It attacked me real hard. In 2000, I was diagnosed with a bunch of different chronic conditions. They call it idiopathic, unknown causes. In 2017, they call it autoimmune. In 2020, genetic mutation. I can't go anywhere. I'm really chronic conditions. I can't barely see anymore. I can barely walk. And I'm listening. I got his book, but I'm waiting for someone to read to me because I can't really see no more. In fact, my eyes, too, my retina. But, I mean, I'm trying to come back. But it's an uphill battle right now. But keep passing the word about what Dr. Marty McCrary was saying and RFK, because they're onto something, and it's the right way to go.
All right, my friend. Well, thank you. I wish you all the best with your health, and I wish you the best, Frank.
Thanks, Rich. Keep it up.
All right, you got it, pal. I mean, I was even amazed that when I was, after my surgery, I'm in the hospital, and looking at the menu choices for room service, and you know, you get like cheesesteaks and pizza and ice cream and apple pie, and you could all order all this stuff to your room. And I remember joking around with Maz about that and saying how unhealthy the room service menu was. And he said, well, you know, we got to make sure you come back, like tongue in cheek. But no, but I mean, there's a problem out there. And for parents, I think the minute that Kennedy got involved in the campaign and started saying things like he said at a rally back in November 2nd, he said the following. He said, we are betraying our children by letting these industries poison them. I think there's a lot of parents out there who are not particularly political, but they hear that stuff and it rings very true to them. And you look at how well Trump performed with suburban women and also men too. But I think particularly with suburban women, because I know this because I talk to them. You know, I have friends who are moms who have kids, and I know their kids play with my kids, and this is all a concern for us. And again, I'm not like a food Nazi in any way, shape, or form. I think kids should be able to eat donuts and cake and ice cream and all that stuff. Of course, moderation is always the key. But even with all that stuff, you have to wonder about a lot of the ingredients that go into it and think back to when we were kids and wonder how much has changed over the years versus, you know, an apple pie that grandma made versus an apple pie you buy in the store now. So it's about asking questions. The biggest way to be a disruptor in life sometimes is just simply to ask the questions. And that's what he's going to do. You know, he's going to go in there and begin the process of this. And then also what you have to do is you've got to divorce government from special interests. If we're going to have regulatory agencies, then the regulatory agencies cannot be influenced by lobbyists. That's the bottom line. They can't, because these people are human beings. And the other problem is the lobbyists influence members of Congress, and then those members of Congress influence the people at the FDA and the NIH and the recommendations that come out. And it's a gigantic revolving door. And until that happens, until that goes away, then these problems will never go away. But the Make America Healthy movement, I attribute a lot of Trump's success, particularly in the suburbs, to that. I really do. And I'm using my anecdotal evidence of talking to parents. I know over the years, the frustration parents felt during COVID, they would tell me the frustration parents feel about biological men competing against their little girls in sports, and the frustration parents feel about the food supply, what their kids are eating, and how they feel sometimes they're powerless against it. No matter what they do, no matter how they try, they just feel like it's an uphill battle. And they say these things out loud. So when I look at the results of all this stuff, I go a layer deeper and I think, okay, there's more to this than just simply people thinking about inflation and thinking about the border. There's something else here happening. And Kennedy joining that campaign was a very positive thing for Trump and the outcome, because there might have been a lot of moms who held their nose and voted for Trump because they didn't particularly like him. Maybe they voted against him in 2020. But the Make America Healthy Again movement might have been the reason why they ultimately came home and voted for Trump. And that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VANARIA, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. He's been named a top dentist in New Jersey for 10 consecutive years. We'll take your thoughts, take your calls on this. More breaking news, more announcements. Doug Burgum, Secretary of the Interior. And will Trump's press secretary be named before the show is over today? And will it be me? Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hi, I'm Mike Vanaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth. Retirement planning is more than just saving money. It's creating the life you've always dreamed of with financial freedom. I specialize in retirement and legacy planning. Build a strong financial portfolio so you'll enjoy retirement and leave your family a strong financial legacy. Secure your financial freedom. Call me, Mike Vanaria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Fight night in America tonight, baby. Excited about the fight. Justin, you going to watch the fight tonight?
I am 100% going to be watching that fight.
Any man who doesn't watch that fight is not a man.
I may or may not have a bet on it.
Who are you betting on, Tyson or Paul?
Tyson.
Tyson?
100% Tyson. Yeah.
You got to go Tyson, right? they already had a smackdown a little bit during the weigh-in last night. That was it's the greatest part about this whole story so far. You think it's fake, though? You think the whole thing's fake? Is it a Fugazi?
His first couple of fights, I would say, were, you know, kind of Fugazi, kind of set him up to make him look tougher than he really is. But I genuinely think Tyson cares more about his legacy than anything anybody can pay him. I mean, I remember during the press conferences, he had said, well, my kids forgot who I really am, so I'm going to remind them what their dad used to be like back in the day.
Yeah. I got the Justin cam up. I love it. So you're predicting a big Tyson win tonight?
Knockout.
DeSantis, are you watching the fight?
I am watching it. I also have money on it, but I went the opposite direction.
Really?
I actually think, yeah, well, and look, I'm a huge boxing fan, so I like Mike Tyson, but he's 58 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. How many times does a 27-year-old lose a fist fight to a 58-year-old? I would guess pretty infrequently.
But is the fight real tonight, or is it a Fugazi?
I think it's real.
You think it's real?
Yeah, it's definitely real, yeah.
So what happened? They had the weigh-in, and Tyson bit his ear off? Or no, that's the other guy, right? What, he smack him last night?
Yeah, he slapped him across the face, because apparently Paul stepped on Mike Tyson's toe.
Oh, man. Do we have the video clip of that?
We do have a video clip, yes.
Oh, good. Let's play that. This is Mike Tyson slapping Jake Paul in a wild weigh-in moment last night. So we can see it on. We're streaming live on YouTube right now, 1210 WPHD. And by the way, if you're not watching it tonight, oh, can you pot up my sounds? Oh, thank you very much. If you're not watching it tonight,
you can act like a man.
That's right.
What's the matter with you?
Because a man watches this fight tonight. And I know it's not until 11 o'clock. I'm going to try my best to stay awake. It's been a long freaking week. But look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Boom. Walks over and slaps him. I love it. Says, talking is over. Boom. Talk is over.
He doesn't. Nice. Paul doesn't want to admit it, but he got rocked on that slap. You see the way his head just whips to the side.
Yeah.
He got rocked on that.
Yeah. Is there audio to it, too, or is it just video?
I have some audio if you want to hear. Yeah, there's not much to it.
Yeah.
It's just the crowd erupting.
Why is Tyson wearing, like, a thong? Oh, I can't wait. I'm excited. Everybody I know is watching this fight tonight. Every friend of mine has texted me and asked me about coming over to watch the fight with them. Everybody's doing something to watch the fight tonight. This is a very big moment in our culture tonight, I'm telling you. Juan Collazo thinks it's all a big setup. Yeah, my Fugazi radar is a little off on this one, I'm telling you. By the way, Sharon Kennedy thanking me. I'm not chubby. Thank you. I appreciate that. Was it Shelley who said that? Who said I'm not chubby? I was chubby though as a kid. That's true. I was. I was fat. I was a fat kid. I wore Husky jeans, and Shelley McDonald said that. Thank you. Now I got to watch the carbs because, you know, I'm going on TV a lot more. I don't know if you guys know this or not. I've been on Fox News a couple times this week. Did I mention that?
First time I've heard of it.
Oh, did I? I'm sorry. I should have. I apologize. I should have let you guys know about that. Yeah, I had a couple Fox News appearances this week. Three, as a matter of fact. So, I got to stay svelte. So, like, and of course, you know, I have a home liposuction kit now, which is nice. You hook it up right up to the old, remember the old house vacs? It would suck everything in. You just plug it into an outlet and would just, you know, you move around the house with it. Now a liposuction thing, it just sucks the fat out right into the central vac container. It's great. Love it. Is
you
it?
Know, you should really mention the Fox News appearances.
I thought I mentioned that I was on Fox and Friends First, America's Newsroom, in person at the table with Dana Perino and Bill Hemmer. I was on Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Fallon. I thought I'm you know, my apologies. I'm sorry I didn't mention that. I feel rude now. I feel rude. So, my bad. Let me play you this clip. This is a clip from President Eisenhower, okay? And Johnny Cook reminded me of this a couple years ago. You know, we're very famous about knowing about Eisenhower's warning about the military-industrial complex, okay? And that's fair, and we got to worry about that. And that's why I'm personally glad Tulsi Gabbard's going in as Director of National Intelligence. I'm glad that a soldier like Pete Hegseth is going in there versus somebody who came from like Raytheon or Lockheed or somebody else. Eisenhower's warning about the military-industrial complex is the most famous part of his farewell address, but he also warned about the elites in the science and technological area of our world and the intersection between government and science. And it's a longer clip, but I wanted to just play a quick snippet of it for you. It's only about 30 seconds or so. This is a little bit of Eisenhower's warning in that front. Take a listen.
Yet in holding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite. It is the task of statesmanship to mold, to balance, and to integrate these and other forces, new and old, within the principles of our democratic system, ever aiming toward the supreme goals of our free society.
See, it's a key thing. And so the elites now are in charge of a lot of things. Like, for example, I mean, a New York Times article about this. I'll read you this quick quote. In vowing to upend the nation's food system, Mr. Kennedy is taking a direct shot at big food, one of the country's most powerful industries, whose traditional allies are Republicans. Even something as simple as removing artificial dyes is likely to result in a knockdown battle for the multi-billion dollar food sector, which is wary of higher manufacturing costs or a dip in sales of products favored by loyal customers. More broadly, Mr. Kennedy has set an agenda to root out what he considers corruption in the arena of government and public health, arguing that regulatory agencies overseeing food and drugs have been working hand in hand with corporate America to enhance profits rather than to benefit consumers. Many of the issues Mr. Kennedy raises about healthier foods and on changing the practices of established industries through tougher measures have traditionally been pursued by Democrats. So I think this is part of the reason why Trump did so well in places like California. You know, when you talk about vaccines, they're incredibly controversial, and it's a topic I don't do on this show. We talked a lot about the COVID vaccine, obviously, but vaccines are incredibly controversial, and I just stay away from the topic as a radio topic because it's like abortion. It's a boring topic, but it's one of those areas where it does unite people who tend to be Democrat voters and Republican voters who have concerns about these issues. Same thing with food. Same thing with things like red dye number 5, high fructose corn syrup, you know, Monsanto and their, you know, and Roundup and all the other things. I mean, these things tend to unite people across party lines. I noticed that myself years ago when I made a joke about peanut allergies and got 500 phone calls from people screaming at me. It's an area where it crosses ideological divides. No doubt about it. And I think Kennedy being on the ticket helps Trump in that in a big, big way. Ken's in Horsham. Ken, how are you?
Doing well, Rich. I met you and Dr. Maz. And I had told Dr. Maz about my weight loss journey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the guy that gave you the big chocolate bar. I lost 125 pounds.
I remember. Good for you. That's great.
Doing intermittent fasting and walking. Okay. If people train and condition themselves, they can do anything with, you know. The big thing is big pharma, big food. They want you to be sick so they make money. They don't want you to condition yourself so you don't have to use them. Okay? It's everything in America is spurred by economics. Okay? So when you do the intermittent fasting, you can control that. You can come off the wagon, go to the party, have fun. 2 days later, you're back on the wagon doing the fasting. You know, I eat between 9 and 3, you know, in a day. You know, so I eat like a 6-hour window. But beyond that, water, coffee, black, limited carbohydrates, because carbohydrates convert into sugars directly. Okay.
Yeah.
And people don't, you know, you're getting an understanding with your journey, okay, in terms of what the carbohydrates do to you. A lot of people, you know, and I show people pictures, what I've done, what this, but the reality is it's driven by money.
And that's what he needs to get to the bottom of, Ken, no doubt. Listen, buddy, thank you. Good. Congrats on your weight loss. It's fantastic, man. You keep it up, all right?
No problem. Did
all right,
like
thank you, Ken.
Well,
you know, just now that you said that, I'm afraid to eat it. All right, thank you, Ken. 855-839-1210. No, look, I mean, I think moderation plays a lot into it. Everybody has their own method, what works. But the key is, from the perspective of the government and big food and big pharma, and I really don't want the government involved in this. The problem is government is involved in this and always has been. Like, there's a story I shared with you years ago on the radio about this. It was from The Guardian, how lobbyists made breakfast the most important meal of the day. You go to Europe, for example. I remember when the Zioli Army went, we did a trip to Italy years ago. You know, if you go to Europe, a lot of European countries, breakfast there is a very light meal. You know, a couple of pieces of gabagool and, you know, a piece of cheese and, you know, and a coffee and, you know, you're out the door. It's not like a big American breakfast. But a lot of places in Europe will offer that. They'll say, like, we have American breakfast. You can go and get bacon and eggs and everything like this. But the issue of when breakfast became the most important meal of the day, and there's a lot of science now that says maybe you should wait and have your first meal at lunchtime. Like, that's what I do, for example. I typically don't eat until lunch. I found that works for me. And some days I don't eat at all because I'm busy and I don't want to eat right before the show because I get tired. And then, you know, I'm starving by the time 6 o'clock comes around and can't wait till 7 o'clock so I can actually eat something. But breakfast was not a big meal of the day until people like Kellogg's and others started going around and lobbying to start making breakfast a big meal. And there was a whole thing, this whole story about how they started lobbying Washington to get behind this effort to say breakfast was the most important meal of the day. And, you know, and it wasn't just the big cereal, but also to help farmers with eggs and bacon and everything else. And a lot of this was driven by politics. All these years later, and then, you know, we know how corn got, you know, high fructose corn syrup got into the food supply and corn became a major ingredient in food. Corn's in a lot of things because government pays people to grow corn, even if they don't need to grow it. And then they have excess supply and that leads to things like high fructose corn syrup and corn as an additive. We also know the food pyramid and the guidance from the food pyramid, which told us to eat 6 servings of grains. I mean, government has been involved in this. And then, of course, just by the virtue of having the FDA, when the FDA says it's okay to eat Fruit Loops, parents assume it's okay to eat Fruit Loops because you have a government agency that says it's okay. See, if you didn't have the agency, I'd be all for that, by the way. You know, this is the libertarian in me. I'd be fine with absolutely no government involvement in this whatsoever. And if the states want to handle it, whatever, and I know that's kind of, it sounds nutty because it's crossing state lines or anything like this. But if you wanted to keep government out of this completely, I'm sure we could find a way to live with it. But the point I'm making is that it's a false sense of security if you think there's an FDA and they say it's okay to eat Fruit Loops. It's like the Board of Health. You know, my opinion on the Board of Health has always been the following. Restaurants don't want to kill their customers or make them sick. The Board of Health is not the reason why you go to a restaurant and don't get sick or die. It's because they don't want to kill you because it's bad for business. But having a Board of Health gives people the perception that that restaurant is clean. And it's the same thing with the FDA. You believe that these things are safe because the government has told you so. It is a false sense of security. And we have not challenged a lot of the conventional norms of this for a long time. So if the government is involved in this, and you realize there's probably no way to get the government out of it, then you got to keep the lobbyists out of it. But then the other problem is you got to figure out, well, if you're going to have the science involved in this, who are the scientists? Because we've seen how many scientists get things wrong. We know how scientists are telling us that the conventional wisdom is that man is making the climate warmer. And I don't believe that for a second. So that's the other problem, is that, you know, how do you surround yourself with scientists who are actually objective and are not pushing an agenda? And then science has its own way to reward scientific agendas and consensus through things like funding and grants, etc. And then you have to wonder about wacky things like, you know, as Elon's government efficiency panel is showing a lot of things like, I'll share this with you. I saw this earlier today, if I can find it here. Yes. So there was a thing about transgender monkey research. The National Institutes of Health spent $477,000 on studies involving transgender monkeys, which, by the way, was my AC/DC cover band name in college. Oh, and I was looking on the YouTube chat. We are chatting away on YouTube right now. And Matt DeSantis, you're about to get your ass kicked by a lot of 58-year-olds in the audience, including Santo, who said, I'm pretty sure there are a lot of 58-year-old dudes that can beat up bologna sandwich-eating Matt DeSantis. And I agree. I agree.
Yeah, I'll definitely lose the majority of fights that I take part in. There's no doubt about that. No one's doubting that. But I don't know. I have a hard time believing that 27-year-old Jake Paul is going to lose to 58-year-old Mike Tyson. Jake Paul's a big guy, and he has boxing experience.
Jake, yeah, no, I know, but you don't. And Santo would. I know the man. He would beat the living, you know, piss out of you. Is what I'm saying. I don't know if I could say that. Did you have to dump that?
I think we have to dump that.
I think we're fine. All right. Ah, who cares? Newman Price said, did Rich ever tell you that Red Dye number 5 was his Maroon 5 cover band name in college? Cover band name. Good. Well done. Well done. All right. 855-839-1210 is the number. Anyway, I think it's going to be a very exciting time with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. As part of this. I think it's going to be probably the most exciting part of the next 4 years. Also the most controversial. Unfortunately, I'm a realist, too, and I think there's going to be so many lawsuits and fights over this that I would also manage expectations. But the one thing I can promise you is none of this is going to be boring. That's for sure. What do you think? What are you hoping Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will do? And look, I think we have to look at everything from fluoride in the water supply. It doesn't mean you're a nut. Like, this is what, again, this is what they do. They label you as a conspiracy theorist if you say things like, do we need fluoride in the water supply? I'm not anti-fluoride. The question is, should it be in the drinking water? Because you ingest that into your body versus toothpaste and mouthwash, which you spit out. It's a legitimate question, something that Dr. Marty Makary raised in his book. But immediately they paint you as anti-fluoride. They go, how anti-fluoride has gone mainstream. No, the question is, should the government be putting it in our drinking water? Is that the best use of what we should be doing when there's a question regarding IQ levels in kids? And there's still other ways for them to get fluoride on their teeth without ingesting it into their body. So questions like that need to be addressed and asked. And you got to have somebody who's got the cojones to ask the questions, who's not afraid of being called a conspiracy nut. Because the best thing that any powerful organization can do to silence you and shut you up, same thing I know, is to call you a conspiracy nut, tinfoil hat. Oh, you're a tinfoil hat person because you think that, red dye causes ADHD. I'm not saying it does. I'm just simply saying that I notice with my kids, if they have certain foods, they're off the freaking walls. I'm sure you as a parent know this exactly what I'm talking about. My daughter, Reagan, when she eats the homemade pasta we make together, which you can see the Instagram videos of cooking with Reagan, even when she makes her toe pasta, is fine. We make it in a very healthy way. I use a sourdough starter. I use fresh eggs. I mean, you know, if I give that girl something that has artificial red dye number 5 in it, she loses her freaking mind. She goes bonkers. So, you know, there's correlations with everything. You are what you eat. I believe that. I think food is a medicine. It's not used properly. RFK is going to go in there and ask a lot of these questions. But we have to be brave enough to not be labeled a conspiracy theorist for asking questions, because that's what they try to do during COVID. And we all should have learned that lesson by now. Whether it's the Wuhan wet lab leak or whether masks work or whether lockdowns work. Okay. Safety and security is a top priority for every business owner. Look no further than my friend Tom McCausland at McCausland Lock and Alarm to secure your facilities. They'll help you control access. That means a state-of-the-art key card system so you determine who can get where in your facility, and incredible camera systems so that you can keep an eye on everything. Listen, a lot of companies out there can sell you these things, but there's only one Tom McCausland. His wealth of knowledge and experience allow McCausland to effectively protect all types of facilities, no matter what the environment. And just as important, customer service is unmatched. When you need assistance, you're going to talk to a local expert, probably Tom himself. You'll never be stuck in a voice message system not knowing what number to push. So if you're serious about protecting your facilities, and you should be, you need to seriously consider McCausland Lock and Alarm. Call Tom at 610-430-1500. 610-430-1500. Remember, in this day and age, where we're talking about crime all the time, you don't want to mess around with this. This is your business. This is your livelihood. Protect it with McCausland. McCausland Lock and Alarm, 610-430-1500.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, yeah, baby. I just sent you a clip of something. Can you play it real quick for me? Do you see if you I sent it to you, Matt. See if you can play that for me. I just want to see if everybody knows where it's from.
Give me 2 seconds.
Yeah, take your time. This is this kind of goes to the theme of what we've been talking about earlier, but I want to rename it something. So tell me when you got it. Got it? Got it?
Not yet. I'll have it in like 15. No, still not yet.
No.
Hang on. Hang on.
I just got to click play. I just sent it to him, so it's not his fault, but just thought of it right now. Tell me when you got it. Got it? Got it?
No, almost got it. An ad playing. Okay. Hang on. Okay. Oh, here we go.
Okay. Who knows what that is? Somebody on the YouTube chat, tell me what that is.
I know what it is.
I know you know what it is. What is that?
You have the answer.
What?
I thought somebody had the answer.
No. See if anybody got it yet. This is... It's from a video game. It's called the Bologna Sandwich Eating Brioche Bun Punch-Out, where you... You know, you're the Glass Joe of Mike Tyson's Punch Out. You know that?
Look, I'm not disputing it. I'll probably lose a fight to virtually every member of our audience, regardless of age or gender.
Mangle Mush got it. Justin, did you play that game when you were a kid?
I did play. I've played both variations of Mike Tyson, the one with Mike Tyson
and the one without. Yeah, because eventually they gave up the rights or something. And
I think it was. After the whole thing he went to prison for, they took him out.
They took him out of it.
They re-released it without him in it.
I can still remember to this day when Tyson came out, the anxiety I felt having to fight him in that video game.
Oh,
it was literal anxiety because you made it so freaking far, but now he came out, the champ came out, and it was just. And then when I beat him, when I finally beat him after reading the Nintendo magazine and learning what to do, and you know, because everybody had their own, you know what I mean, like.
Writing down like the punching pads,
yeah.
The blocking patterns. From...
Yeah, and you had to do, you know, and then when I finally beat Tyson, I felt like I had accomplished, like I'd climbed Mount Everest. It was one of the greatest moments of my youth. It took me weeks, months. I don't even remember how long. I don't think I ate. I don't think I slept. I don't think I showered. I think I just did nothing but try to beat Mike Tyson. And when I finally did it, right? You remember that feeling?
Oh, it was incredible. Also, according to YouTube chat, that wasn't Mangle Mush. That was his wife who took over his account for a second to get the answer for him.
Oh, wow. Good job. Good job. Yeah, body blow, body blow, body blow. Remember there was like a whole pattern? Remember?
Hell, I had at least 3 different full notebook pages for every single character, what the pattern is,
yep.
What they're, if they had like a chance to do something different, how to get the stars so I can get a star KO.
Oh, the star KO, yes. And then Tyson would come out and it would be the anxiety of that moment of like, oh man, I got to fight the champ. I ain't afraid of you, champ. I ain't afraid of you. Oof. Good stuff. It's going to be a good fight tonight. There's going to be a lot of people watching. All right, listen, we got a big 4 o'clock hour coming up. Will Trump name his press secretary coming out? Sylvester Stallone, speaking of great boxers, introduces Donald Trump and compares him to George Washington. Oh, yeah, my man Sly, baby. It's a little ironic, too, since Jimmy Matthews is going to have to run up the steps of the Art Museum next week in a MAGA hat and boxer shorts, knowing that Rocky himself, right by the Rocky statue, Jimmy Matthews, knowing that Rocky himself came out and said Trump is the George Washington, the second coming of George Washington. So we got all that coming up for you. Big 4 o'clock hour. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr. with Allsperity Private Wealth. No matter your occupation, whether you work for a big company or you're a small business owner, everyone wants to keep as much of their earnings as possible. I specialize in tax minimization strategies and retirement planning that'll help you build a strong financial future for you and your future generations. Call me, Mike Venaria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc., member FINRA SIPC, advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, and SEC-registered investment advisor.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.